The wait is over. Dell Technologies Black Friday and July deals are live. Check out incredible savings on select laptops and more, like the XPS 15 powered by Intel Core processors. The XPS 15 brings you the perfect balance of power and portability, plus stellar visuals and immersive sound. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to exceptional tech and electronics, plus free shipping on everything. Don't miss out on Black Friday and July savings at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
This radio commercial was made to convince you to stop speeding. We can't use siren sound effects on the radio, so we'll use other equally jarring sound effects to get your attention. Like telling you that whether you drive a little over the speed limit or a lot, you can crash just the same. You could hurt yourself or worse, others.
I'm at the scene of the collision.
And the damage you cause will be beyond repair. See? We didn't have to use crash or siren sounds after all. Speeding catches up with you. Brought to you by NHTSA.
This is the Rich Eisen Show. Rich Eisen.
He's not a bird. He's not a plane. He's super bad. He's funktacular.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Were you surprised Kirk left?
Yeah and no. I always knew, you know, Kirk was going to do whatever he needs to do. I just knew that, you know, everything just wasn't, you know, the way he wanted it to be.
Earlier on the show, sports media personality John Boy. Coming up, senior writer for the MMQB. Albert Breer, 49ers tight end, George Kittle. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air here on this busy Wednesday. We just talked about what Justin Jefferson said in this chair to my right yesterday about how Kirk Cousins leaving did not surprise him. He said yes and no, and he elaborated on the no. Saying that, you know, that he knew that he had to be paid, meaning himself, and that Cousins knew that, and that there were certain, I guess, as he was saying, picking up on what he was referencing, certain financial realities for Kirk that he had to face, and also didn't elaborate on the yes. What did surprise him about it, I did my best yes last segment to say what the yes was. The yes was, he's leaving me. Why would anybody leave Justin Jefferson at age 24? I mean, come on.
Yeah, right.
Very good point.
Like, that's how you can win a championship and maybe put yourself in a position to put a jacket on and a bust in your likeness being made. I mean, at any rate, George Kittle is going to be here in studio in hour number three in support of the same documentary that Justin Jefferson is part of, and that's what he was promoting yesterday, Receiver on Netflix. All eight episodes are out right now for you to binge watch, and you can do that right here on Roku. Joining us now, our friend from Nantucket, Massachusetts, in Sports Illustrated. Look at you, Albert Breer. SPF,
like,
buddy.
Wow.
Do you know? I know you're SI, but do you know SPF too, Albert?
Not familiar with it.
Good
Not
Lord.
It's all natural, yeah.
I thought Jack Golke was tan last night playing for the Thunder.
Well, Rich knows this is like my greatest quality is my ability to tan. It's kind of sad, but here we are.
Jeez. So
I don't mind fawning it when I have it.
Good right to see you, Albert. Thanks for taking time out of some of your remaining downtime between now and March to join us right here. What are you picking up from the Giants Hard Knocks? I started the show by essentially thanking the Giants for letting us in on all this stuff, because I know the way this Hard Knock stuff works with the NFL Films Group and how terrific they are, and and how you know, there's kind of a get together on what we see and what there isn't. There just appears to be a ton of nuggets from the first couple of episodes. What have you picked up on, Albert?
I know the Giants were nervous. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I talked to a few people there. I did a story. Joe Shane was involved in that story on whether or not we're reaching an all-access tipping point, you know, with NFL content. And this doesn't just relate to this. It relates to, you know, obviously the Roku Channel draft series, which you guys are really familiar with.
Oh, yeah?
And, you know, I think it's like more – it's just – there's a level of sensitivity with off-season content that I think has made teams uncomfortable with this. And I think it's going to require a little bit more work because they've gotten to such a comfort zone with the training camp stuff and even the in-season stuff. And it was interesting because, you know, Joe had brought up this point to me that I thought was fascinating, which was he was there in Miami. I think it was 2012 when they did Hard Knocks during training camp. And he said, like, you know, for better or worse, like, we knew every week that, like, whatever was out there was out there. And so, you know, every, I think it's Tuesday nights, right, that they air. Every Tuesday night, we could turn on the TV, and whatever was, what had happened that week was in there, was done. And it was pretty much self-contained because it just involved us. It didn't involve players who weren't on our team or other teams. It just involved us. So it was a, like, while the cameras are some places you might not be comfortable with, it was pretty self-contained. This is completely different, you know, and this is, while the idea of putting cameras everywhere and miking everything has been done by NFL films for a long, long time, this is totally different, you know, like, because in these cases, to give a real view into what's happening, you have to involve other teams, right? Like the trade talks, the, you know, like our free agents, where are they going? What other teams are involved with this free agent? All of that different stuff is involved. And, you know, I think the Saquon example is a good example too, where there's this player that you've had a really great relationship with and you've been through a lot with, and now you're, you know, legitimately witnessing a breakup. Like, all due respect to guys who are cut at the end of camp, that's generally not what that is. At the end of camp, it's tough to cut guys, of course. It's a really hard part of any of these guys' jobs. But that's a guy, like, you might have only had around for 3 or 4 months, right? Like, with Saquon, it's a guy they've had a relationship with since 2018 in the organization, you know? So I think it's trickier to navigate. Obviously, you know, the league wants to create more and more of this content. It's going to where the audience is, right? And a lot of younger people consume content this way. So the league wants to meet the audience where the audience is. And, you know, I think we've gotten more and more sensitive stuff, which I think has brought us closer to a tipping point where it just requires more work, I think, now to make sure that these things work for everybody involved. And you don't leave a sour taste in teams' mouth where other teams are watching this Giants series and saying, no way, Jose, are we ever doing anything like that.
So your answer to me asking for what you've picked up on it being that the Giants were really nervous about it and a lot of teams are now really sensitive about it means something sensitive has been picked up by you. What are they? What have you gleaned from this?
Yeah, there are a couple like that were really interesting when I was doing the work on this story, which everybody can go read at Sports Illustrated. It's a couple weeks ago. I'll tweet it after we get off the air.
Thank you, sir.
It was there were a couple that I thought were really interesting. Like one, like little subtle one, right? Was like I had heard before the draft that the Rams were looking at trading up for one of two guys, right? One was Brock Bowers, that was first, and the second was Byron Murphy. The Byron Murphy thing, they were very sensitive about that, and that never saw the light of day until the draft series came out, right? Now, you might say, what's the difference between trading up for Bowers or trading up for Murphy? Well, in the Rams case, it was, well, then Jared Verse is going to see that, and he's a pass rusher just like Byron Murphy is, and Braden Fisk is going to see that, and he's a three technique just like Byron Murphy is. So how does it make those guys feel, right, like to see that? Another one that was sort of interesting was the Howie Roseman one, right? You're familiar with that, with the Adam Peters, Howie Roseman thing from the Roku series?
Go for it. Right. You're talking about the pick is in, which you can see here as well.
Howie, you're a pain in the ass, that comment, right? Like, and like they're talking about Howie being a pain in the ass. I mean, I can tell you for a fact, the Commanders actually went to Howie himself and asked him for permission to put that in. You know, so the Commanders actually had to do some back work and saying like, hey, like we need to make sure this other team's okay with this, right? The Eagles didn't sign up to be part of the series, you know? So that kind of created some stuff where they went to, I know Adam Peters went to Howie Roseman and went to Bob Lang, who's the PR guy there in Philadelphia, who Peters had been with in San Francisco, to make sure that it was okay that they put that in. That's what I'm talking about.
Like, so this is now confirming Howie Roseman confirming that he is in fact a pain in the ass is what you're saying.
Yeah. Or at least okay with being called one. Is that all right?
I don't think he is. I mean, by the way, he's working in the right town for saying, please let everybody know I'm a pain in the ass. You know, I mean,
a compliment though, isn't
yes,
it?
Like, I think so.
I'm being a pain in the ass trying to get the best deal possible for my team. That's a compliment for a GM, right?
Right.
But they want to check. And I think a big part of this is like, one of the big no-nos at Hard Knocks over the years, and I talked to our mutual friend Mike Mayock about this a few weeks ago when, you know, when the Raiders series came out, it's like, you don't put other people's business out there. That was a big no-no for him. And I, you know, I think that that's what it was for the Commanders in this case, right? Like, was, well, we signed up to be part of this, but the Eagles didn't. And as part of this, now the Eagles' business might be getting put out there, so we better go check with them. Even though they're a division rival and everything else, like, professional courtesy, make sure, like, they're okay with this, or we're going to put our foot down on it, right? And so, like, that's an example of how that's more complicated. Like, that stuff might be happening in training camp, like trade talks and stuff like that, but we haven't really seen a whole lot of it. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of that stuff hasn't really seen the light of day in the Hard Knocks series, but it's so central to the offseason, right? Like, if you're going to do an offseason series on the draft, on free agency, on whatever it is, like, that has to be included. You can't have a legitimate series without it. So that's what I mean when I say that makes it more complicated, because you're putting out the business of people, you're putting out other people's business when those other people didn't sign up to be part of it in the first place the way that you did.
Yeah, I hear you. And, you know, again, I remember that Raiders Hard Knocks series, because you could say that the episode after the helmet affair and the you know, the foot affair and the you know,
Canada, remember it was Canada,
all of that with Antonio Brown was truly the most anticipated episode of Hard Knocks, and hardly anything was in it. And I think, you know, Mayock kind of, along with the rest of the Raiders, are like, screw it, we're not putting out that business, too bad. And that really did damage to the series, which, again, is not the Raiders or Mayock's concern. And I think this is what you're touching on right here, Albert.
Now, think about this, though, Rich. I hate to cut you off. Remember what they were coming off of, though? You remember the Hard Knocks the year before?
Which was what was that
Cleveland.
Again?
Cleveland.
Right.
Where we taught everything. Right? Like, so
we,
like,
did. Yeah, I know. And that's the whole point of it. Now that, if we're including the offseason, at what point does content get in the way of teams doing their business and being honest with one another in meeting rooms where honesty is crucial, and honest with other teams, calling one general manager pain in the ass, or conducting their business with another team? Like, hey, why would I trade with a team if this is going to be recorded and thrown out there? You know, like, do we need to have non-disclosure forms signed with each other before they have trade talks? And again, that may sound crazy, but this is the sensitivity. Clearly, if the Rams are sitting here thinking, we may now have a problem with the kid that we drafted if he's seen that the first choice we had was somebody else, even though that's the way that business is done. So I don't know what the answer to it is, but all I know is I am fascinated by these conversations that I'm seeing in these rooms with Joe Shane and the rest of his staff, fascinated by listening in on the conversations of Joe Shane with Saquon Barkley's agent and Saquon, fascinated when John Mara walks in the office of Joe Shane to have a conversation about where's Saquon going. I'm even fascinated by the conversations, the chit-chat that Brian Daboll's having with these prospects. I mean, putting these guys on the board. We saw Drake May on the board. We saw Jaden Daniels on the board. This is great. This is awesome. Like, I love
May
it.
Drake May was the guy they were trying to trade up for, you know, like, so, like, we saw why, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you see why they were looking to move up and they were talking to New England about going up to three, right? Like, it's because Drake May blew them away. It's a fascinating conversation, you know, Rich. And I can actually speak to this because I work a lot on stories like that, like, that dig into how Aaron Rodgers wound up in New York, how Caleb Williams became a Bear. And I fight for those details, right? Like, that's a big part of what I do. And, you know, like, through the relationships I've been able to build over, you know, so many years covering the league, like, I've kind of come to a point where I've been able to negotiate some of that stuff. And I can tell you it's not easy. I would say the biggest thing, if the NFL asked me, I would say you have to treat these teams like partners. And that's what, you know, Mike Mayock invoked the name of Steve Sable. Steve Sable had so much respect within the ranks of team people, coaches, scouts, players, everybody, that they knew Steve Sable was going to take care of them. And so that allowed a lot of these projects to sing, because it was like, yeah, we know at the end of the day, there's going to be a good project, and we know Steve Sable is going to take care of us. I don't know that there's that singular person now that the league employs at Films that has that relationship with every single team. And I think that that is such an important thing. So I think it's like, it's an ability to work with people as partners, right? And it's like, we're not fighting on, we're not sitting here nervous the night before the show. We're not fighting against each other for stuff. We're working together as partners. Like that to me was like the genius of NFL Films was they weren't operating as a journalistic outfit. They were working as a partner of the teams. And that was what Steve Sable did so well. And, you know, obviously the more you ask for from teams, the more those partnerships are going to be really, really important and are vital now with, you know, all these different, you know, sort of faucets the NFL is trying to turn on to create content.
Albert Breer here from Sports Illustrated. A few minutes left with him on the Rich Eisen Show. We had Justin Jefferson on this program just yesterday, asked him if he was surprised about Kirk Cousins leaving. He said yes and no. And how the no was sort of, he expanded on the business relationship that obviously Kirk and the Vikings were going through in relation to knowing that Jefferson had to be signed. And the yes, yep, he didn't really expand on, which is like, I'm Justin Jefferson. Why would you leave me if you're a quarterback? So that now leaves the question of Sam Darnold and J.J. McCarthy. What's your best guess on how the Vikings ship navigates those waters this fall, Albert?
I think they think higher of Sam Darnold than a lot of people do. And I think, you know, all due respect to your Jets fandom, like I do think that they – I think the Vikings feel like he is a distressed asset and a guy who wasn't properly raised in the league and dealt with a lot of rocky waters. And like, I guess there's almost like a Geno Smith quality to it too, you know, like where it's like, man, like this guy's had a chance now to take a minute and learn from his mistakes. And I think I would implore anybody who's listening to this, go back and watch the fourth quarter of the Niners Ravens Christmas night game, because that game was a blowout, like, right? The Ravens, yes, won going away. But I remember watching the end of that game, and Sam Darnold played about the last 10 minutes. And seeing him in the context of having those players around him and those coaches around him and playing for Kyle Shanahan, I remember thinking to myself, this guy's playing faster. Like, this looks like a different player. And I talked to Kevin O'Connell about that, and he said they saw the same thing. And, like, Sam had a really strong spring. So what does that do to J.J. McCarthy? I think it enables them to be patient when they need to be patient with J.J. McCarthy. And I know Kevin's been very detailed about putting together a tiered, like, you have to hit these markers before we're going to put you on the field. And a lot of coaches say that, you know what I mean, with first-round quarterbacks, but they don't really do it. And it can be to the detriment of a quarterback that they get pushed out there because it's like, well, what the hell, just play him, you know? I think the better Sam plays, the better situation becomes for J.J. McCarthy, you know, within reason, where if they think they can win with Sam Darnold, and I believe right now they think they can win with Sam Darnold, and Sam Darnold's going to get the first snap in training camp, that's going to enable Kevin to enact like the entire plan that he has for J.J. McCarthy, where J.J. is going to have to hit these detailed markers along the way before they think about putting him out on the field. You know, I'm not saying this is Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love. Obviously, that's different. But I do think that, like, the way Sam Darnold looked at the end of last year and then the way he's looked in the spring has at least created some flexibility for the Vikings and how they handle J.J. McCarthy, which, again, I think long-term winds up being a best-of-both-world situation.
Yeah, it's Baker Mayfield is the analogy that I keep landing on here. You know, and it's not apples to apples, because you could say also Alex Smith, right? Which would which would mean J.J. McCarthy's in the Mahomes position, and that's a very unfair comparison to make. But and Baker was drafted two spots ahead of Sam. Baker did win a playoff game, did make a playoffs that Sam has not had. Baker did have a cup of coffee in the NFC West before winding up in his new spot, that I think a lot of people thought really gave him the fuel to rise in Tampa last year. Maybe that cup of coffee in San Francisco for Darnold is the same situation in Minnesota, which has the weaponry similar to, one would say, Tampa had ready for Baker. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's kind of right there. Canales helping out Baker. Kevin O'Connell might be the right sauce for Sam. after he had his Shanahan time, after Baker had his McVay time. I don't know. Like that's the analogy I keep landing on here for this.
I mean, and like how many of these guys, like how many, like I remember having this conversation with a Seahawks coach, to go back to Geno, when we were walking off the field at training camp, and this guy I've known for a while. And he said to me, he's like, you know, being around Geno makes me wonder how many more guys there are like this, like that have talent, that were just mismanaged when they were young, that went through coaching changes, that had to switch teams, that had everything turned upside down. And then they got some time to sit and wait. And then they got in the right situation. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, you know, like the reason he was drafted so high in the first place was legitimate. It was just, he wasn't in the right situation. There are very few young quarterbacks that I believe can overcome bad circumstances. And, you know, we can talk about Mahomes all we want. He had a great circumstance. We can talk about Lamar, like Josh Allen. Those guys walked into awesome situations, right? Like those guys were all in great situations. How many quarterbacks have legitimately been able to overcome bad situations as young players? You can't find them. Now, that doesn't mean Mahomes wouldn't have done it. That doesn't mean that Lamar wouldn't have done it or Josh wouldn't have done it. They weren't asked to do it, right? Like they walked into really great situations that helped them grow. And, you know, Andrew Luck is the only one I can look at and say, yeah, that guy had a shaky situation and he still wound up being a playoff quarterback early in his career. It's just so rare that like 100%, like I think you could look at somebody like Sam and say, here's a kid who's pretty smart, who came out, who was more raw as a player than people wanted to admit. Who probably went to the wrong system, went and played in like a Peyton Manning system, which was not quite right for him. And I remember hearing people back then, like this guy would be good for a Shanahan system. Then he gets in one and all of a sudden he looks really good, right? I think you can put the pieces together and see where this could be a very real new beginning for Sam Darnold, whether that means he's in Minnesota for a few years or, you know, maybe like you said, you bring up the Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes situation, like maybe this becomes a great problem to have where both guys have a great year, Sam Darnold on the field, JJ McCarthy in the background, and Sam winds up somewhere else in 2025 as a starter, and JJ's ready to go, having a full year of learning under his belt into next year as well.
Before I let you go, Albert, onto your Nantucket Wednesday, where you're having George Kittle come out here shortly, and I will put him in the position of talking about another team, another player on his team's contract situation. What do you think is happening with Ayuk, if anything, and how it plays out with Brandon Ayuk?
I would just remind people that things were a lot uglier. With Deebo Samuel, you know, you don't remember this, but 2 years ago, things were much clearer with Deebo. If you remember, the argument at the time was he doesn't want to play running back. I would point out that in the 2 years since signing his new deal, he has averaged more carries than he did the year before signing the deal. So, like, for all that stuff, and you remember that noise, right, Rich?
Oh, yes.
Where it was like how ugly that got. I don't want to do this anymore. And now he's carried the ball more since than he did that year. So I think this is a solvable issue because I know what the Niners' intention is. And the Niners' intention is to sign Brandon Ayuk long-term. And they've been down this road before. They obviously went down it with Nick Bosa last year, Deebo 2 years ago. They've found a way to get these things done. And the fact that as our buddy Mike Silver reported a couple weeks ago, you know, they've made offers that are over $25 million per year. Tells me they're willing to go the extra mile. Now, does that mean that it's not complicated, that Justin Jefferson got 35 and CeeDee Lamb's still out there? And, you know, man, does Brandon want to wait for CeeDee Lamb's situation to clear up so maybe the market moves more? And, of course, all of that, you know, you can't say that doesn't complicate it. Of course it complicates it. But I do think the Niners believe their number one receiver right now is not Deebo Samuel. It's Brandon Ayuk. And so, you know, I think the guy that if they had their druthers, they would keep between those two would be Brandon Ayuk. I think you can see that intentionality and the money they've put in front of him. And I think ultimately they will wind up getting something done with Ayuk.
All right, man. Send me a picture of a juice bar ice cream cone. I need that.
I will. I'll do that tonight.
Do that and send it to us. Send it to me. Send it all around. We'll send it out there. And again, Albert, aloe vera. SPF, come on now.
Yeah, well, the juice bar might have. I might be carrying a little extra weight with this tan too. Hopefully, it hides it.
Do it. Some of the best ice cream in America. Great,
more pastels. Let's go.
Take care of yourself, Albert. We'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
The great Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated. He's going to also tweet out that article he wrote about Hard Knocks, this current series, and we'll amplify that as well. All right. Let's take a break. I've got a power rankings.
Ooh, nice.
Power ranking of running backs.
Oh, baby.
I'm going to do it. Apparently ESPN did it. I'll join it. You know what I mean?
I feel you.
That's
feel
next. You. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. We all know about the speed of sound, but have you ever thought about the sounds of speeding? If you drive over the speed limit, there are lots of different sounds that you might hear. Drive too fast, and you could hear the sound of your vehicle crashing. The sound of ambulances and first responders desperately trying to free you from the wreckage. You could hear the beeps of a heart monitor. You could hear doctors and nurses in an emergency room as you're being treated for your injuries. You could hear the sound of worried family members in the hospital waiting room, hoping to hear that you're okay. You could even hear the sound of people crying at a funeral. Because if you drive over the speed limit, whether by a lot or by a little, you could do damage that's beyond repair. You could seriously injure yourself, or worse, you could hurt and even kill someone else. When you speed, you put everyone on the road in danger. One way or another, speeding catches up with you. Paid for by NHTSA. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Derek in Missouri is back on the program. Line two, Jay Felly. What's up, Derek?
Hey, Rex. You know, I got to say, sir, it's a crime that the Rich Eisen Show does not have an Emmy, especially after Monday's show with Lenny Conan, High on Gummies, and Brock McTune, nickname introduced. If I had to choose to pick for who would be the best sports talk show, and I had to vote, it'd be you guys, top notch.
Derek in Missouri knows how to butter the bread.
Well done.
When he shows up.
Keep saying better things about us.
Rack him.
Hey, that's what I'm here for, right?
What's up? What's on your mind?
So, you know, we're back on Dak Prescott once again, and I got to tell you, Rich, this guy deserves so much better. I need to say this. The guy needs to play out the last year of his contract in Dallas and just move on, because it's not his fault that he has only two wins under his belt in the playoffs for the Cowboys. Let me put it this way. I was 7 years old the last time the Cowboys played an NFC Championship game. That's how long it's been since the Cowboys have done anything. It doesn't matter how many times they've gone to the playoffs and done this and done that. Every single year, it's always like every single day, it's drama with this team.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an episode of All of My Children with this team every single day.
Well, I get it. I just think that's the way ownership likes it. And I think that's the way that ownership is used to doing it. And I think that's the spell my name right PR strategy. And thanks for the call, Derek. I appreciate it. And that's just the way it always has been with the Dallas Cowboys. Always. Even when they were winning their championships. That's just the way it is. That's the way it was with the Yankees in the 70s and the 80s and the, you know, and they were winning championships then. And I think it's just that part and parcel for certain franchises, that's the way it goes. And that's certainly the heat that comes on it. And that's the fan base that's so passionate about it. But that leads me to a question I want to ask you, TJ Jefferson. And I need the Emmis truth here from you, sir.
Okay. The what?
The ultimate truth.
The Emmis?
Emmis?
I've never heard that before.
I need the truth from you.
Okay.
Would Dak Prescott,
okay,
for the rest of his career, be better off somewhere else?
Oh man.
What Derek in Missouri just said, because he said he feels for Dak and that Dak deserves better. Dak also is, you know, feathering his bed with Jones's money, with Jones money. And, so, and it's and if that's what matters in this world, and it does for a lot of people, and of course it is very important to be generationally enriched, he's doing very well for himself. And when you are the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, that does put you in a certain pedestal. It certainly allows you, if you're a quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys or a pass rusher for the New York Giants, you're in a better position to succeed in your, or a quarterback in general, obviously, of a big franchise.
Well,
it gives you a better shot to be a successful in media if that's your desire once you're done.
So you just gave the answer that I was going to give you.
Like, okay.
Depends on how you look at things. Is it about making money? Because bottom line is, that's what it's all about. People can say I don't do it for money.
No, it's about wins. It's about making the Hall of Fame.
Is it though?
I'm asking. I'm putting you in this box. This construct.
It's so tough because, like you said, being the quarterback of the Cowboys does present you with opportunities,
yes,
that others won't get. Tony Romo doesn't have that gig if he was the Bengals quarterback. You know, Jason Witten doesn't.
Hold on a second. Boomer Esiason got a gig.
I mean, okay, that's true.
I just want to push back from what a Bengal fan might say.
Won an MVP, though. Boomer won an MVP and been to two Super Bowls.
I mean, Phil Simms won a Super Bowl in the 80s, and his finally his CBS run just came to an end.
Giants, yeah, though, number one market.
Number one market. So I'm saying take a smaller market team like Romo Witten. They don't get those opportunities.
So,
be better off? It depends on what Dak wants, Rich. I really like if he doesn't want to have to pick up his phone every 3 hours and hear his name on someone's mouth talking about a boot. Mm-hmm. Remember one year it was about he didn't throw for about 2 weeks during camp, and that was an uproar. Like, what's wrong with
his shoulder? Like he needed to see a pitching. He was seeing pitching coaches.
Yeah. So there's always something, and people always want to go, well, it's Cowboys fans. I still don't know that that's necessarily the truth. I think it's the media because the Cowboys are the biggest, most valuable team out there. So I really can't answer that. I don't know what Dak is in this for. Is he in it just to make money? Because that's what he should be. Because when you're putting your body on the line, you got to stack your paper.
So then let's go here then. Utilizing what you just said, how about this? Does he could just, he knows one way to do it, mm-hmm, and he could stick where it is. He doesn't leave CD, right? In the same way that Justin Jefferson said that Kirk Cousins leaving surprised him and it didn't. Again, not to repeat myself, but I will. It's sports talk radio. Mike Francesa used to repeat himself 5 times in the same segment.
Well, because you never know who's tuning in. Right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So Jefferson elaborated on why he wasn't surprised, mm-hmm, and left alone why he was surprised. And I interpreted that to say the reason why he's surprised is, why would he leave me? So you're leaving CeeDee Lamb, mm-hmm, who is, you would say, on par with Justin Jefferson? When I said Justin Jefferson is the best in the business, you're like, what about CeeDee Lamb?
I think right now, Lamb is first.
I think Lamb
had a better year last year.
Has every reason to tell Jerry Jones, pay me like Justin Jefferson.
Absolutely.
More so than one would say, you can do that with Jed York.
Factual.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Factual.
So You're sticking. You could stick with CD. You stay in Dallas. You don't have to move. You know the owner. You know the situation, and you know you're built for. Okay, so they're all focused on my shoulder 1 year. They're focused on my leg the next. Mm-hmm. I'm also, you know, in line to maybe be the first $60 million a year quarterback, and I have never been within 2 games of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay, and so that's cool. Or is it better off for him to find another spot where he can find somebody who's, you know, in CD's realm, or what the Packers are doing, bunch of young kids, mm-hmm, and peace and quiet.
Man.
Peace and quiet. You're still making as much money. That's not going to change.
That's not going to change.
He's going to make as much money elsewhere. That's apples to apples. I think the money in Dallas and the money in elsewhere. and go somewhere else and just do it in relative peace. Mm-hmm. You're off the radar screen, but you have a potentially even better chance to win because it's a different way to do it there. What do you think?
The pressure is always going to be on in Dallas, right? Always. So it just depends, Chris, on how
that makes
good he
diamonds,
is.
As we know.
Yeah, and Justin Jefferson knows that as well because he had them all over yesterday.
What's he going to be, the Saints quarterback next year?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. That's a great for instance.
Because I think that's on the table. That could be possible.
How about Jets quarterback next year?
Look, we had a caller.
No, but that's the same.
Because you're going to New York.
It's the scrutiny of New
York. Okay, so we got to get rid of that. Okay.
We had a caller call in and mention the Steelers a few weeks ago, if you remember.
Will Levis bust, and he's the Titans quarterback next year?
Like, yeah, that's not going to bring him any closer to a championship. I'm sorry. No disrespect.
And I think we forget about him pretty quickly if he's mediocre.
Remember the caller called in a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, the Steelers
are not the same.
It's not the same as Dallas, right?
Well,
the fan base and the attention paid is huge.
Right.
Let's be honest. Right. The Steelers are probably a greater franchise.
All right. So I've laid it out. I need an answer.
Raiders? Is he the Vegas quarterback next year?
Oh, baby.
Now we're talking because that's real, too. That's real. That's a possibility.
True.
Because they've got AOC
and
Gardner right now.
Now we've landed on an actual team. Better off for him to be the Raiders quarterback for the rest of his career or to stay put in Dallas.
Yeah, Raiders. Go. Raiders.
Go.
You might as well stay, dog.
I'll say Raiders.
Yeah, I'll say Raiders. I'm going to put this out.
Go to Vegas. You're nodding your head because you want him.
I would love that.
Mr. Silver and Black over there.
Of course. I would love that.
You take him in a heartbeat.
Which is crazy to me, Jason, because I see so
much. And you got Davante Adams there.
I see so many comments from people, like you get the Dak stinks comments, which I swear must be bots or whatever. There's people who don't want to look at the actual stats and just say that he stinks. But then I see so many other fan bases going, I would love to have this dude as my quarterback.
Hell yeah.
So it's like, does he really stink or do you not like him because
he does not stink.
He's with the Cowboys.
He's with the Cowboys.
He's with the Cowboys.
You don't want him against you.
He's an excellent quarterback.
I know this, but
excellent in the community. Excellent quarterback.
Come on. You read everything. You hear everything.
Well, I mean, listen, he is now in the same lot as Romo and everybody else since Aikman. They have not gotten to the NFC Championship game. I think you sent the group a text of an Instagram account that had the logos of the final four of the last decade.
No, look,
there was a lot of red up there. The Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers and the Patriots.
Yep.
And then a lot of other mishmash, right?
Can I ask you guys
No stars.
No stars. But would you rather be okay? I look at the Niners. Wildly successful, been to the four Super Bowls in the last few years. They don't have any Super Bowl wins. Now, would you rather be in that position? Oh, we're getting there. We're not winning, though. This kind of goes to your thing, Chris.
Or would you rather be Dallas and not even get out of the second round?
I'm just saying, this goes back to your question. Would you rather get blown out or would you rather lose a close game? Would you rather not make it there?
He's trying to.
It's spin zone right
this
now.
This is total. I mean, at this point in time, I'm asking you guys legitimate questions. I'm dizzy by the spin. Because, no.
You asked me a question that you gave me all the
time. No, of course I'd rather be the 49ers making the Super Bowl. Get out of here.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, but. You, I mean, of course
you want to go to the Super Bowl instead of like, well, it's been, you know, damn near 30 years since you've made it. And look at the other franchises in the NFL who have done it and other teams and other sports that have made their Final Four that have not had the problem of the Cowboys. You don't want any of that stuff. But Dak is a guy who you've got the right quarterback to finally get through all that. The ultimate question, we finally drilled down to the actual which team would you rather be for the rest of your career? Staying in Dallas and doing it the same way and maybe having some, you know, you're in that spotlight where all this, you know, craziness, right, Michigas is going on.
I'll give you what I thought about
Or
Tony
you go
Romo.
To the Raiders where it's a passionate fan base. You're the Raiders guy. You're in the AFC West and you're totally changing up your whole career dynamic. And you got Davante Adams, and you've got maybe you don't have a better roster you're going to. You still have a great pass rusher in Max Crosby. You got a young stud there, too.
Two good tight ends. Remember they got Brock Bowers and Michael Mayer.
Just saying. And if you're Dak, you're sitting here thinking, all right, so don't sign me. Let me walk.
Ooh.
You say stay put in Dallas,
well,
though.
I'll tell you, back when Romo was playing, I was at a point where I thought to myself, if you put Romo on a different team,
yes, sir,
and you took that star pressure off of him,
yes,
maybe he'd thrive a little bit more.
Yes, sir.
So if you're going to ask me that, paying Dak $60 million is insane. I feel like most Cowboys fans feel that because it's just going to hamper the rest of the team, obviously. So if Dak Prescott didn't play for the Cowboys, he wouldn't have as much pressure on him. I don't know if the pressure gets to him or not. Does it?
I don't know if the pressure's as big in Vegas. I don't know.
It's not going to be as big anywhere.
But he would have to. He would be raising his hand saying, I'll leave the pressure cooker of Dallas to go to less of a pressure cooker in Vegas, but willingly entering Mahomes' world where I got to play him twice a year.
So, yeah, I mean, that it all depends on his mindset.
Great
man.
Chat. We'll take phone calls on it, too. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I got my power rankings of my top 10 running backs in the league, and George Kittle's going to join us in studio hour number 3. Don't you dare move here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. It's kickoff time, and Believe Podcasts are here to get you ready for the season.
He wanted to change the culture, and he wanted me to be a part of that.
With Believe, you get immediate reactions, game previews, and expert analysis from all 32 teams, plus all of your favorite college teams.
He's just rare in just about everything he does.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
This was good for everybody.
Just search Believe. That's B-L-E-A-V podcast, wherever you listen. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, Game Time Tickets. Start buying tickets to anything in your area, concerts, concerts. You can go to any events in your area, sports-wise, baseball especially. If you are desirous to go to a baseball game, it's perfect. I use Game Time to get tickets for both teams in the Los Angeles area. You should as well. It's so easy to see where the seat is in terms of how much it costs, and then in terms of the view from your seat of the field. You take the guesswork out of buying baseball tickets with Game Time, which also is an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use my code RICH, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH, you get $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. All right, listen, ESPN asked us for the Justin Jefferson video, right?
They did.
And we approved. So they have no idea. I'm about to take something from them. They apparently asked a bunch of scouts and GMs or front office types.
I think Jeremy Fowler does this every year, right?
Okay.
Where he gets the top 10s for all the positions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The top 10 running backs. And it's a Wednesday, which means it's a power rankings day here. Nice. So here's my power rankings of the top running backs in the National Football League.
Power rankings.
And we're a running back friendly show, so you know how much this hurts that I got to give you 10 and I've got to order them. Okay. And the way I'm going about it is not just recent past performance, but how I think they're going to perform this year and the question marks I have about what they're going to do this year, and also how I'm going to project what they're doing this year. And
there's a big windup.
I know. I'm partial to guys who can maybe go 100-100 on you.
Catches.
Catching, 100 yards, receiving, and running.
I love it.
Okay?
Let's go.
And that's why Travis Etienne's on this list. He's 10. I'm going with the Jacksonville Jaguars running back right here. I thought he had a really outstanding season last year. He is also a guy that I think if you can snag him in your second round of your fantasy draft, you'll be very happy. I dig him. 100 out of the backfield running it, 100 catching it from Trevor Lawrence. This guy can do it all. I like him.
Big fan. Might be a little low, 10.
Got it. Number 9, I'm partial to him. We've been partial to him ever since he started doing what he was doing for the Green Bay Packers. Everybody's sleeping on him because he's on the Vikings right now and the Packers let him go. I like Aaron Jones. This guy's like a wheel route stallion. 100-100. 100 in the air, 100 on the ground. Can't wait to see what he's going to do for the Vikings this year. Can he stay healthy? That's the issue. You could say that about every single one of these running backs. Number 8 on the list. Speaking of that, he's coming back. I've got him deep down here because I just have no idea how he's going to look to start. But I'm putting Nick Chubb here at 8. Even though he's not really much of a threat receiving, boy, is he a threat running. And he's on a team that loves to run it. So let's see what he looks like coming back. And I hope it looks exactly like he did before that awful injury took place against the Steelers. Number 7 on this list. I'm assuming he's not going to get it vultured this year. I'm assuming they're going to give him the ball. I'm giving this Bijan Robinson guy a shot here at 7. And I know that's really low. But, dude, I mean, I need it. Dare I say I need to see it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right.
I'm booing this pick.
Okay, boo, boo it. Boo it. Boo it all you want. Boo. I'm assuming. Is he going to be featured? Are we going to feature him? You're nodding your head. Oh, we're going to feature him.
All right, I see. He might have 2,000 total yards.
Okay. Number 6, I'm putting Saquon here. Saquon Barkley. This might be a little bit low as well, but you'll see where I'm going on this list. I think he'll have a huge year if he stays healthy. That's the only reason why he's 6. I just hope he avoids the injury bug in Philadelphia because it bit him way too damn much in New York and New Jersey.
He's set up to dominate.
Number 5 is Jonathan Taylor. I can't wait to see what he does from jump. And also with a guy who can run it at the mesh point. Don't forget, I don't think Jonathan Taylor took a single snap with Anthony Richardson last year. Not one. I think he was out. Ooh. I mean, take a look at that.
Great question.
He was still rehabbing from whatever the hell was going on with him when Anthony Richardson was already gone by the time he got back. So I can't wait to see what he looks like at 5. Number 4, I'm still going with this guy. I'm still ride or dying with him, even though he's not much of a threat catching it, but he can be. Derrick Henry, let's not sleep on him. I think this guy's a Hall of Famer, okay? Ooh. I think this guy's going to have a bust. And the bust should have a bot. He should be the first guy in the Hall of Fame with a torso to the bust, okay? Like, that's how high on Derrick Henry I am. And with the Ravens, what a match. What a match made in heaven. Number 3 on this list is Breece Hall of the New York Jets. You take a look at what an absolute fire of the dumpster last year was, and he still put up numbers.
By the way, too low at 3, maybe?
Maybe so, but here's how I'm going. I am so high on this guy. Yeah. I'm like Lenny in Panama City. Jahmyr Gibbs, guys. Jahmyr friggin' Gibbs for the Lions. We saw it. He was getting stronger last year. You know? And I know he's the lightning monster in this thunder and lightning equation there with Montgomery, but I just think he's going to be too good to not give a gajillion touches to. And I think that last year was just a surface scratch. How about that?
Agree.
And then number 1 we all know is Christian McCaffrey. So, I mean, what else do you want to say?
About him?
Yeah.
Nothing.
And if he doesn't do well this year, who's the first dumbass in our business to be, well, he got married.
Can we do it just for fun?
Nope. Lovely couple. Where are they registered? I probably don't even want to know.
Bro,
that's kind of like one of your things.
Should get married. I should have stayed single. No kids.
That's my power rankings. I left Josh Jacobs off, and I apologize to him. And Rashad White, who was on our program yesterday, and so on and so forth.
That's a solid 10, Rich.
That's my running back power rankings list.
I'll break it down in 20 seconds.
Okay, very good. George Kittle's about to come out of our green room. Phone calls as well. Hour number 3. That's all for us. George Kittle's here. That's going to be a lot of fun. Hour number 3 coming up right here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. Give us a ring. Why don't you? But George coming out. Christopher?
All right. I don't love the Chubb pick. Don't love the Aaron Jones pick.
Why? You mean on the list at all?
On the list at all.
How do you not have Nick Chubb in a top 10 list in running backs in the National Football League?
ESPN's got him 35 right now.
Because of his knee?
Yeah. You just don't know when he's...
Massive question mark. Don't know if he's coming back. Don't know if he's ever going to be the same. Sadly. Love the guy.
I still got to put him on there.
Pre-injury Nick Chubb.
I'm sorry.
He's in the building.
I still can't. I still have to think.
I'm actually shocked this guy not on the list was our guest a couple weeks ago, Kieran Williams. He is a perennial top 6-7 guy on all the lists right now. I know he's going to got Blake Corum there, but I think Kieran Williams is going to, beast.
Brother,
no Isaiah Pacheco. Talk about a versatile player. Who would you take off? Well.
What Aaron Jones is a two-way threat. Come on.
Disagree. Aaron Jones is near the end. Near the end, the reason why Green Bay got rid of him. Okay, he's high teens.
I'm just not. I can't
20s
quit.
On a lot
I don't know.
Of lists.
He's
okay?
Showtime. He came here when he was like a pup.
I think a big time omission.
I'm biased.
Big time omission. Joe Mixon. Got to have Joe Mixon on the list, especially with how awesome this Houston offense is going to be. That what we think. Okay,
Rich, I'm tripping. I was writing down who's number three for you.
Breece Hall.
That was well. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, you can't deny he's a top five running back.
No,
right?
No. CMC, Breece Hall, Bijan, JT, Saquon, love it. Love Jahmyr Gibbs. Would have liked to have seen maybe James Cook and Rashad White.
Maybe so.
I think Mixon was the only one that.
George Kittle, folks, coming out.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast.
Season 4, I'm glad that it's over.
As we know now that season 5 is supposed to be one of our better seasons.
Obviously, the tattoo storyline, you know how I feel about that.
You hating that storyline brought me a lot of joy because I kept waiting to see how it was going to keep going and then how they would somehow settle it.
Binge seasons 1 through 4 of Talkville before season 5 begins, wherever you listen.